familiar text for us with a new twist, of course. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me." I'm thinking, no, it'd just be the first guy. It wouldn't be the rest of them. He'd already be dead, right? "And the Lord said unto him, Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken upon him, on him, sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden." Heavenly Father, again, thank you for your word and our fellowship. A good place to meet. We've been pointed out tonight, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray now that we clear our minds, get our hearts right with you, our heads right. Lord, you speak to us through your word tonight. I'll turn this service over to you, the Holy Spirit, and you work and move here as need be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Title of the message is First One Thing, Then Another. And this is a familiar text for us. And man, you know, you can't exhaust the Bible. I've probably preached on most all of the things, the main things like this in the Bible. But I want to look at some of the first things that we see and hopefully to help us like in our walk with the Lord as we go along. So we see right off the bat, we have the first birth, the very first parents on earth, Adam and Eve. Of course, had relations. Eve conceived and gave birth to the first child. This is the first child that's in the history of the world that was born with a sin nature. The very first one. Think about that. The very first one born with a sin nature. Adam and Eve, they fell. They didn't have the sin nature at first, but they fell because of sin. And now we have a child that's born with a sin nature. And even then, Eve said, she said this in verse 1. She said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. So she knew that a child was a gift from God, that it came from God. Even all the way back there, not knowing what we know, not having the word of God, but she knew this came from God. And that's something to think about, direction you could go in there. And I'm sure that, like all parents, think about that, Mom and Dad, especially Mom. Man, I mean, you didn't have no Dr. Spock book. You didn't have anything, child rearing advice. You didn't have any, there was the first parents, the first child, and they didn't know how this was going to go. Learning curve, like most parents. Most of us had a learning curve with the first child for sure. Don't know for sure, but I'm sure they were happy, like all parents, a baby, wonder about it, I mean, even to them, it was newer than, we've all seen babies before we had babies. We were around babies. They hadn't. So think about how, looking at the size of them, I was always fascinated with them little toes and little toenail, them little fingers. Just think the first time they saw that. They had never seen that. First baby in the history of the world. And when it being the firstborn, even later on in Israel's history, you know, the firstborn had special privileges. And I think the firstborn and even Cain was special. But he lost everything because of sin. He lost his relationship, you know, even with his parents. He lost that in the long run. And so here we have this first birth, and things are starting on. And now we got the second thing is the first rejected offering. It says in verse 3 that in the process of time it came to pass. That means that some time went along. So all we do is picture that the boys grew. I don't know how long it was after Adam and Eve had Cain that Abel came along, but I got a feeling it wasn't a real long time. I don't think they were spaced out in years way out there. I believe they were pretty close together within a year probably of each other, just assuming that, don't know for sure. But time went by. Eve conceived, and she had a son, Abel. And so we got two brothers. And in the process of time, they grew to, you know, up to be young men. We would assume now, by now, they're young men, old enough to worship on their own or worship and bring an offering to God. And so we would say they were young men, at the very least, right there. Taught by their parents. They had worshiped God, no doubt. I don't think this was the first time that there had been worship of God in their life. I believe this is something that had gone all along the way. And, you know, think about this. They had the privilege, Cain itself, and we're really kind of focusing on him. Cain had the privilege of verbally communicating with God. I mean, he verbally could communicate with God. Think about that. I don't think when God came and asked him was the first time he'd had any communication with God. This is how it was. I mean, this is what a privilege this was. What a responsibility. Yet we see the fallen nature. It didn't, you know, it still had to be dealt with. You know, it still had to be dealt with, and it still existed. And the Bible tells us there that Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep. And in that economy in those days, and there's nothing wrong with either one of those labors. There's, you know, they're both needed. They were certainly needed. You had to have, you know, you wouldn't just eat. They weren't just carnivores. You know, they had vegetables, and you needed the tillers of the ground, and you needed those. They were both good job, I guess we could say. Honorable. And one day, both of them brought an offering to the Lord. And in verse 4, it said it this way, and I kind of looked at this a little harder. It said, Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. Well, it said, and Cain brought the fruit of the ground, offering and flock. And Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect there about this offering. And, you know, there's a lot of comments about, well, you know, they were supposed to bring a blood offering, and I've probably even preached it that way myself. Well, we don't know that. It doesn't say that. The Lord did later on. He did accept a grain offering, fruit offering. There was other kind of a wave offering. There was a lot of other offerings. It doesn't say that he was necessarily, that God didn't have respect, because I don't know what offering that was. They didn't have the Levitical law. They didn't have the law of Moses. There wasn't any different offerings probably lined up like we see later on in Hebrews. There's a lot of comment about it, but a lot of times we just assume, you know, commentators and preachers, you know, we kind of just assume, well, you know, he was wrong because he didn't bring a blood offering. I looked at it a little closer, and I don't think that's why he was wrong. I just don't think that's what it is, because of the fact that Lord did accept grain fruit offering later on. That word respect means to look upon with favor or to gaze upon with approval, that the Lord had respect. And the root word means a deep, undivided gaze. Now listen, how long does it take you to look at a dead animal? It doesn't take that long. How long does it take you to look at a basket of fruit? I don't believe he was gazing at the offering. He's gazing at the offerer. See, he's gazing. He said, see, look at the order. Look at the order. It said, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering and to Cain. See, it listed the person before it listed the offering. And I think the emphasis is on the person and not the offering as much, although that would be, and now if God had said, this is what you have to do, then it would be on that as well. Hebrews 11:4 says, and this is in the faith chapter, it said, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now you could say, well, see, it's talking about that the sacrifice is not excellent. But it also, the key word is faith. By faith. And I tell you what, when we look, and I think that God gazed on the heart of both men. And I don't believe if Cain had brought a firstling of a flock that God would have had respect for it either. Well, how do you know? Because I can show you Cain's attitude in the rest of the text. See, he wasn't. It was a heart issue. It wasn't an offering issue. And the Lord didn't say, hey, look, take the vegetables back and bring an animal sacrifice. Huh? He said, if thou doest well, you know. And like I said, for him to have an undivided gaze, the fruit didn't need an undivided gaze. And the whatever animal Abel sacrificed didn't need an undivided gaze. But the person does and the heart does. And this is the key. God gazed upon the heart, the attitude, the motive, the love. See, so it's like that with anything, with any worship. God looks at our hearts. Huh? You know, which this means that our worship will not be accepted just because we show up. See, just because Cain came in there and said, well, look, I'm gonna bring an offering to the Lord, that doesn't mean God's going to accept it. And just because we come in and we show up and we sit down, listen, man, if our attitude's not right.
Amen.
Huh? What if you got unlove? What if you got unforgiveness? What if you're carrying a grudge? Huh? What if you're nonchalant? What if you don't have love for God? Like, your love's not where. Is God going to accept that offering of attendance, if we want to look at it like that? What are we? Is God going to accept that? I don't think he does. He gazes, looks upon the heart. And in God's grace and mercy, God even gave Cain another chance. He said, what are you mad for? He goes, all you got to do is do right. You know what Cain had to do? All Cain had to do is say, I'm sorry, Lord. You're right. My attitude's not right. I said, I don't love you like I should. He could have confessed. He gave him a warning. And the Lord told him, he said, look, sin lieth at the door. Sin lieth at the door. And what does that tell us? That word, it lieth, if you look at that, it could be, it's kind of projects like a crouching lion or something ready to pounce. And this tells us this about sin. Sin is not passive. Even though it's a, I don't know, I'm not smart enough to think of the word. It's a thing. It's sin itself, it's not personified. I mean, it would be in Satan, but here it's tangible though, in a way, but sin, as it still means that it's active, that it's waiting to get us. And I'm telling you, at every turn, it's worse today than it ever was because of media, just the world, the way the world is. I mean, you know, years ago when everything shut down, nothing was open on Sunday, and everything shut down, your TV went off the air at 11 o'clock, and they did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, and a test pattern popped up. Ooh, I may remember that. Yeah, I can picture that thing. It was in black and white, in black and white TV. Ooh, test pattern. And this is the end of the broadcasting day. And then, you know, the next morning, that's 6:30 or 7 o'clock, young people looking at me like, 6:30 or 7 o'clock, the TV would come on, there'd be and then right on time, the station would come up, welcome to the beginning of another broadcast day, and they would do something, the pledge or something then. But now, look, it's 24/7, internet, phone, this, that. Back in the old days, you had to work to sin. I mean, you had to work at it, buddy. You had to put some effort out.
And we'd be too lazy to do it. Now it's just like falling off a log, man. Everywhere you turn, man, everywhere you look, commercial pops up. Somebody walks by, huh? You want to see, huh? Go down to the carnival. You could have seen plenty of sin walking around out there. What a sight. That's you don't have to try. Sin lieth at the door. It's ready. It's ready to pounce on you. It's active, and it's looking for an opportunity. Now, I know Satan's involved, and our flesh is involved, and our flesh may be more involved than Satan is because we put the blame on him. But this is and because it says crouching or lying at the door, sin is predatory. It's looking for you. Huh? It's looking for you. It's looking for an opportunity. It's destructive. Sin is always destructive. Spirals down. First one thing, then another. Huh? It's first this and then that. And you watch how fast old Cain's getting ready to go down the drain. Huh? He's getting ready to go down the drain. Started out this way. The first thing was he just came to God nonchalantly, going through the motions. I know I'm supposed to bring an offering. And, you know, he might have even done this. I'm just adding this in there. This is in the Daniel Boone translation of the Bible, just in the commentary section. He might have looked over there, and there's Abel, man. He's going over there to offer to the Lord. Well, I better do it because I'm going to look bad. I better go down there and offer to the Lord. I'm going to look bad if I don't. You know, so I'm going to go ahead and go too. I'll get up some fruits and vegetables. I think they were probably nice-looking fruits and vegetables. Back then, before sin had a compounded effect on the earth, the plants were bigger. They was bigger and better. You think you got maters, I bet you ought to have seen what they had. Huh? They looked like pancakes. I bet they were nice-looking. And I think he said, I'm going to get some nice, I'm going to go down there and offer to the Lord too. That's what he did. That's how Abel worked with the animals, and he could get an animal, and Cain worked in the ground, and God gave the increase. It's still God. It's, a lot of times people say, yeah, see, because he worked with his hands, and it was a work salvation, and he was working. Hey, God gave the increase, right? And he took of the increase, and he gave it back to God, kind of like what we're supposed to do, right? That's what we're supposed to do. And God gave the increase. I think it was all right. I think those things was okay, but he might have just with his heart said, well, there's Abel going to do it. I better do it too. How many people? Well, I better get down there to church. I got to get down there and look right. Or your spouse goes, and your spouse don't go, you won't go. Or parents just make you go, young people, huh? And they should. They should do it. But where? What about your heart? Where's your heart at? Is God going to say, well? He don't have a list up there like we did in school with a gold, your name and a gold star he puts beside it when you show up. He might have a list up there and a gold star he puts beside it when you show up with the right heart, with the right attitude, with the right motive, with the right love. You might get one then. I don't know. I doubt it, but that's what it is. And so God was gazing and he looked at that. And it tells us that God doesn't just accept our worship just because we show up. He's looking. He's gazing in a little bit deeper than the surface of things. And so he said, listen, he gave him a warning. Sin lies at the door. Sin's active, and it's going to get you. And Cain is getting ready. He's starting to spiral down. The first thing was, all he did was, he came to worship, and his heart wasn't completely right with God. That was the first thing. It doesn't seem serious, but it spirals down. And then the second thing was, we got the first recorded anger in the Bible from a man, from mankind. Huh? It said, God spoke to him about it and said, and Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. We don't have any other verses, I don't think, in the Bible that said anybody got, I don't know that Adam and Eve, they got afraid, but they didn't get angry, I don't think. And God asked him, he said, why are you wroth? You know, why are you mad? Why is your countenance fallen? Just do well. That's all you got to do. Just do well. And I think Cain knew that God was right about it. He knew that, you know, this was it. And he could have confessed, Lord, I just can't, I'm not loving you like I should. I know it. He could have just confessed, forgive me for my being nonchalant. Forgive me for whatever. Repented. Man, God would have been right there.
But he did like a lot of people do. He got mad. He got mad at God. Now, see, there's other, but you know what happened? He ended up, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he killed Abel, but he was mad at God. But he might have been mad at Abel too. See, a lot of times you preach the truth, you know who's people don't get mad at God, they're going to get mad at me. Well, the preacher, man, they get mad at the preacher because he told them the truth. Had a guy one time said, man, I felt like every Sunday when I left, I'd been beat up. I said, well, get right with God. You wouldn't feel like you beat up every Sunday, man. I mean, I can't help it, right? Left out of here and found him a church where he didn't get beat up every Sunday. But he got mad. Now, just think about this. This is a tragedy of it all. This is a tragedy. Pay attention. Stay with me. Stay with me. He could have had happiness, peace, contentment, joy, blessing. It was right there. He's conversing with God Almighty. And the reason, you know, and conviction is a good thing. Conviction means that God cares. Right? And God says, okay, look, Cain, all you got to do is just do it right. All you got to do is get right. So God wants him to. That God just didn't, you know, God wants him to. And it's right there. God's saying, here it is. Happiness is what we all want. Happiness and joy and blessing and, man, peace. That peace that passes all, it's right here for the taking. He got mad. Huh? He got mad. He didn't do it. All he had to do was admit that his heart and his faith wasn't what he should have been. But, you know, he got pride. He held his ground. He got stubborn. So I'm going to do it my way. I don't care. I don't care what God says. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to do it my way. And he got mad about it. And I don't know if he stormed out or not, we just assume. But then what he did, we got the first smart aleck comment in the Bible. We got that right there too. When the God came and said, where's Abel thy brother? He said, I don't know, first lie. Am I my brother's keeper? I can just see the sarcasm in that. Huh? This is the first smart alecky comment in the Bible. Cain talking to God. Right? Think about that. First, this is what anger. So what's happened? All he did was he didn't have a right heart when he went to worship. Now he got angry and he's mad at God. Now he lies to God. And he gets smart alecky with God. He's on dangerous ground. He didn't have all the history that we do. We know what God do. And then he murdered his brother. And then he left the presence of the Lord, left his parents, lived in fear, a vagabond for the rest of his life. Man, listen, this whole world is full of people like this. Amen. This whole world is full of people like this. Just don't care what God says. I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. And are they going to be at peace? No. Are they going to be happy? No. Never. You going to have joy? No. Blessing from God? No. None of this is going to exist. And it leads up to, we're still first one thing, then the other. Now, the first murder. It says in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. I wonder what they talked about. We can only speculate. Cain might have been whining to Abel about, man, God didn't, he didn't accept my offering. He didn't have respect unto my offering. Now, I don't know how, we don't even know how Cain realized that. I mean, it doesn't say what the conversation, just said that God had respect unto Abel and his offering, and he didn't have respect unto Cain and his offering. I don't know how Cain knew it, but maybe God told him. But he might have talked about it. I'm just speculating. He might have talked about, you know, what did we talk about? Maybe he wanted to get Abel on his side and have Abel say, yeah, you know, God should have done that. He shouldn't have done that. You know, you're right and God's wrong. Maybe that's what people do. They always want somebody to be on their side, right, when they're wrong. But verse 8 said, and it kept on and going, and it said, they talked. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and slew and his brother and slew him. I see commentators said they slew him with a rock. Doesn't say that. I mean, maybe he did, but it don't say it. You can't say, well, he killed him with a rock. It doesn't say he killed him with a rock. I was reading one. I mean, well-known commentator. Said, slew it with a rock. Doesn't say that. He just said he rose up against his brother. Maybe he did. But why? And then you say, well, why did he kill Abel? Abel didn't reject his offering. Right? Why is he so mad with Abel? Why do people hate Christians? Why do people hate Christians that are just living for God? That's all they're doing. Why did that guy kill Charlie Kirk? Why did he shoot Charlie Kirk? Now, he told him the truth he didn't want to hear. But I don't know that Abel did. Maybe Abel told him the truth he didn't want to hear. I don't know. But he told him the truth, and he would debate with Charlie Kirk would debate with him, and you know, and of course, you know, this is what people do. See, if they're wrong, they know they're wrong, and they can't prove that they can't prove they're right because they're not right. But let me just kill. And see, so what the psychology gets down even like this. I think that Abel was everything that Cain was not. And he saw that. He was everything that Cain was not. Maybe even he was everything that he wanted to be. But he wasn't willing to pay the price to be it. So he figured, I'll just get this wiped out. I'll take care of it. See, a lot of times this is what goes on. We see it going on in America all the time today. When we can't meet an ideal, Then we want to destroy the ideal. We want to get to kill it, to get rid of it. And the world doesn't want to have Christians telling them that all of what the world wants to do, that homosexuality is wrong, and that gay marriage is wrong, and pornography and alcohol and dope, and the world don't want us telling them or preaching the Bible where the Bible says it's wrong. They don't want us telling them that. And so they want to get rid of the Christians. They don't have to hear it. They want to push the voice out. And that's why you get in shouting matches. This one shout louder than this one. They don't have to hear what this one has to say. So they outshout them. They can't hear the truth, right? And so this is what happened. And so Cain here, he killed his brother. First murder. First murder in the Word of God. First murder. Look at this. We're only in the first generation. I don't know that you count Adam and Eve were God made them. But the firstborn generation, we're only in the first generation, the first family in the history of the world, and we already got a murderer. We already got a liar, too. I don't know where Abel's at. We got anger. Is Cain content? No, is he happy? Mm-mm. Man, he's stressed out. He's stressing out about what's going to happen to him now when God told him what was going to take place. Cain was defiant. See, man, like I said, he gave that smart out of comment. He lied. Lied to God. And he lied to himself. He had to lie to himself to believe that God didn't know where Abel was. God knew where all of them were. Huh? He told himself he could get away with it. I don't know where Abel's at. Maybe God won't be able to find him, and I'll get off the hook. Don't you always have to do that with sin? You always have to say, well, you know, I can sin, and I'll get away with it. Nobody will know. No human will know, and God maybe will just overlook it. You have to lie to do that. And then when his relationship with God, see, here's another lesson. When your relationship with God breaks down, hang with me here. Your relationship with man breaks down. Human relationships. And then when human relationships aren't right, then your relationship with God's not right. And when your relationship with God's not right, your human relationships are eventually going to get not right because you're going to have the flesh and not the spirit. You know, you're going to have anger issues and pride issues and jealousy issues and all kind of other issues. And He was already, here we are. I mean, sin hadn't had a compounded effect on the human race yet. And we're in the firstborn child. The first child born with a sin nature has committed murder. The first one. It didn't go like generations and hundreds of years down the road. The first one already has gotten to this right here. And he's going to go out and start a family. And boy, look, and by the time Noah comes along, there's wickedness everywhere. Corrupt because people wanted to live apart from God. So selfishness was at the key of Cain's. He was selfish, self-centered, narcissistic. I told Brian about a joke I was reading in a book about, you know, people that are self-centered. Now that's if everybody was self-centered, boy, we'd really have a rough road to hoe here, wouldn't we? I mean, in the world. And there was a man that he was in church and he went to his pastor and he said, Pastor, he said, man, my wife is trying to poison me. And he said, what? He said, man, I know your wife. She's a real nice lady. I don't think you're right about that. He said, listen, you don't have to live with her. I'm telling you, she's trying to poison me and I have seen the poison sitting by my plate. He said, could you talk to her? He said, yeah, I'll talk to her. He goes and talks to her and comes back to the husband. And remember, the topic is self-centered. Comes back to the husband and he says, man, I just got done talking with your wife for 3.5 hours. Let me give you some advice. Go ahead and take the poison. He saw a side of her that he hadn't seen in church, right? Go ahead and take the poison, man, because, you know, she was just going to be too hard to live with. But, you know, This is what happened. This is what happens in society. This is it. We got the first murder, and we got the first departure, really. Now we know when Adam and Eve had sinned, they hid from God in the Garden of Eden. They didn't flee that, and they didn't run away from God that way. But they hid because they were afraid. We understand that, and that happens. But here, look at the steps here. Cain starts out to worship God. One day, with the wrong motive. He had a chance to repent, which all of us do right now in the day of grace. You have a chance to repent. But he ignored that. He murdered his brother. See this spiral now? It's going down. He lied to God, or tried to lie to God. Then he ended up being cursed by God. He said, man, listen, everything you touch, Cain's blood is crying to me from the ground. Abel's blood is crying to me from the ground. And the ground's going to be cursed because of that. So, and he was what? A tiller of the ground. Everything you plant, pretty much what he said, it's not going to come to nothing. And you're going to be a vagabond. You're not going to have any place of rest. You're going to be a fugitive. And, you know, you're going to run. And then look at the self-centeredness. Nothing's changed. Cain said in verse 14, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me, or everyone's going to want to kill him. If you got around him for 5 minutes, you'd probably want to kill him too. What's he worried about? Self. He still could have repented. He still could have confessed. He still could have said, Lord, okay, I'm going to take your punishment, but I ask for your forgiveness, whatever. No, all he's worried about is himself, his self-centeredness. And he, God told him, back a little farther, verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength, and a fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. So the blessings of God are gone. They're gone. He's cursed by God, and everything is going down. First one thing, then another. It's just first one thing and then another. It just keeps getting worse. See, this is the way of Cain. This is the way of sin anyway. You think, oh, I'm just going to have a little pet sin, one little thing.
and nobody's going to know, and it's not going to affect anybody else because I'm the only, it's just between me. No, it'll, because your relationship with God is going to be messed up. Your relationship with man is going to get messed up right behind it. And then it's going to be a spiral thing, and then things are going to happen. And then it says in verse 16 that he went out from the presence of the Lord. This was the first departure. Hey, he had really, really spiritually, he was left the presence of the Lord spiritually a long time before he physically left the presence of the Lord.
Right.
He just never would confess it. Never just admit it. All he had to do is just admit it. God, you're right. I mean, we can't do much about it without God. Right? So what do we do? What do we do? You ever get spiritually like you feel like you're way off from God? What can you do about it? Well, I mean, I know what we can say. Hey, we can pray. Well, you know what? If your heart don't feel like praying, it's hard to pray. Well, we can read the word, but if your mind can't stay focused on that, what do? You cry out to God and say, God, I don't know how I got to this place right here, but this is the way it is, and it's a real thing, and I need your help. I need help. Just ask to confess to God that I feel a long way off. Lord, help me. Give me love for your word. Give me love for you. Put it in my heart. Man, this is it. Don't ignore it. And I don't really, you know what? You wonder because of that in the process of time verse from the time he was a little kid. You know, you don't know what your kids, we take our kids when they were small. We took them to Awana and Vacation Bible School, and we took them to Sunday school. But I don't know where they're at spiritually. We don't know where they're at spiritually. I don't know that Cain was ever spiritually where he needed to be. I don't. We don't know. He might have never, because we got a lot of details missing there. We don't know that if he was ever spiritually, there was one day that he was on fire for God, and up until this point he had sacrificed like he should. We don't know that. We don't know. He might have never been there. But I know one thing. He was living in a perfect environment. Pretty perfect. It wasn't quite as perfect as when Adam and Eve before they sinned, but it was pretty perfect. And he had communication with God verbally. Communication with God, he was pretty close to that there. He had parents. I'm pretty sure they raised Abel the same way that they raised Cain. Raised Cain. Can I say that? He was raising Cain. they raised him. I think they raised both them kids the same way. I think they loved them both the same. He was the firstborn, for Pete's sake. I believe they loved him the same way. He had all the opportunities right there. God gave him an opportunity to repent. It was all there. It was poured out for him. What a tragedy. But it happens every single day. It happens every single day in churches, people in churches. Man, I know stories from churches I've been in, churches I've pastored, church I've pastored, and other people I know and Christians that I know. The things that's happened, the things that went on, the things that's just unbelievable that went on, but it happens every single day. And it's a lesson, man. It's a warning that's recorded right here at the very beginning. We're only in chapter 4 of the whole Bible. Chapter 4, we only got 4 chapters in, we got a murder. Right there. I mean, look at this. Here's your Bible. This is 4 chapters. That's what that looks like. Look how thin that is. We hadn't got nowhere yet. We got lying. We got murdering, deceit, hate, anger, everything right there. Man, I tell you what. And the opportunity. And it's the same today. Listen, we got God. We've got the Holy Spirit. We got the Word of God. We've got a resurrected Savior. Christ died for your sins. Somebody that loves you. God prays for you. Huh? We got all that going on in our life right now. The Lord praying for us. Huh? But you can still harden that heart, stiffen that neck, huh? And keep going on a downward spiral. And I don't know, you know, when Cain went on, he started another civilization, and then they end up trying to get to heaven some other way, and that didn't work out. And then the flood came along and had to destroy the whole earth because of all the wickedness that was in the earth. Yeah, he went on, got married, had kids, had a family, never was blessed, though, never was at peace about anything. It's a lesson, it's a warning, and it's recorded in the Word of God right off the bat. What we need to pray that our eyes can be open, We need to pray that God opens our eyes, our hearts, and see. You know, all goes all the way back to starting to worship God. It goes all the way back. And there's little things, a minutia thing. Just worshiping God with the wrong heart. Or trying to worship God. I mean, you really don't worship God. He didn't really worship God. He just went through the motions. And a lot of people still do that today. Amen? Amen. All right, let's all stand with our heads bowed. Paul, come lead us in.